With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Open your Bibles to Jeremiah, please, chapter 29. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, chapter 29. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the message tonight. We thank you, Lord, that the words that I speak are not simply words that are articulated, but their spirit in their life, Lord. We thank you that it's a form of communication you choose to give life to yours in the church through the perfecting gift, Father. We thank you for that anointing, and we receive it as it is intended to transform us, change us, charge us, to ignite us, and to bring revelation. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Let me read that again. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Amen. Now let me read it one more time. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Do you believe that? Amen. Can you take that personally, or are you just going to take it for Jeremiah and Israel? Take that personally. It's the Word of God. He has plans for you. Before the foundation of the world, He set the plan for your life in motion. Not just overall, generally, like, you know, I want to bless you because you're going to be part of the body of Christ, but He looked at you specifically, knowing exactly what you have need of. Turn to Matthew, will you please? Praise the Lord. Let's just follow the Holy Ghost tonight. Verse 30, "If that's how God clothes the grass of the field which are here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things," verse 32, "and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them." Everybody say need. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, and each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and it's verse 8. "Yes, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask." God knows what you have need of before you pray. How is it that He knows what you have need of? Right now. How does He know what you have need of before you pray? Because He knows the plans He has for you. And God's not the type of God that, the type of being that's going to get sideswiped, that He's going to suddenly get sucker punched, that He's not going to see it coming. And that's simply because God doesn't exist in time. Now, Jesus exists in time. God the Father doesn't exist in time. Jesus can choose to live in time or out of time. God lives out of time, and He can choose to manifest Himself in time. It's just like if you build a house. If you build a house, then you can make a decision whether or not you're going to live in it, whether you're going to abide in it, whether you're going to rest in it. And you can make a decision to live somewhere else. Understand that time is something that was created when God said, "Let there be light." And He separated the light from the darkness. And then you had the first day and the first night. Time began. So God knows what you have need of before you pray, not because He's, methodically said, this is going to happen to you today. Now this bad thing's going to happen, and therefore it's going to make you turn around and seek me, and then it'll become a good thing. That's not the way God operates. There's a difference between commanding the future and knowing the future. Hello. There's a difference between setting every single thing in place that's going to happen to you in your life. I hear people say it all the time, God's in control. Well, somewhat, yes, He is. But He's going about preparing good works for you to do, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, preparing good works for you to do in advance. He knows the plans He has for you, not some of them to hurt you, not some of them to squeeze you, not some to draw you back to Him. Come on. His plans are for you to prosper. His plans are for you to have hope in the future, not to be dismal or anxious or depressed. God draws, He draws us to salvation. The Bible says that it's not the fear of the Lord that leads men to salvation, it's the fear of the Lord. You've got to have that before you're going to get wisdom. But what leads you to salvation is the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads men to salvation. God doesn't lead with death, destruction, anxiety, come on, fear, poverty, sickness, or disease. Now, there's a difference between commanding the future, let there be light, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. That's commanding. That's setting something in place. But being able to look ahead and see the future is totally different than commanding. Now, which is greater? I don't know. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. But I do know that God is in a position that He can see what your tomorrow is going to bring. And He's going to speak to you by His Spirit on the inner part of you about how to avoid calamity, how to avoid poverty, how to avoid death and destruction. Because that's God's nature. I know the plans I have for you. They're plans to prosper you. They're plans to give you hope and a future. Not fear and anxiety. In fact, Psalms 91 says that we won't have any fear or anxiety about calamity or sudden destruction. Or why? Because those things are not to come near our house. We apprehend them by faith. Come on. Jesus said He sent us the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, that He was sending the Holy Spirit to what? Tell us what? Things to come. Did God even warn the heathen Pharaoh about the famine that was coming on the land? Why did He do that? So He could prepare. So He could be blessed in a time of that. So that He wouldn't have lack. And what did Pharaoh get through the hands of Joseph during the famine? All the wealth of the nations came to Pharaoh because God prepared him. That's a picture of what's in it for you and for me. Yes, there is going to be judgment on the earth. Yes, there's going to be calamity on the earth. Yes, there's going to be death and destruction. But it shouldn't come near your house. Because God has given you the Holy Spirit to tell you things to come. And when He tells you things to come, He's either going to say, batten down the hatches and ride this one out, or get out your baskets to be able to fill them full of apples. Come on. You know, what just happened in the United States here and the entire world the last decade? What was the bubble? Come on, somebody. The bubble burst, didn't it? I know a guy that he'd been in the real estate business buying and selling. He owns thousands of properties. He said, this is the first time in 30 years that I could ever tell you it's a liability to own property. And you know what God told me to do? Buy. 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 Well, I don't have anything, God. Well, buy. Come on. We acquired property right here that is worth 7 times what we paid for it. Because when the world was, hurting, God said, I want to prosper you. Come on. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to have hope and a future. God is not going to lead you to calamity. He's going to take you out of calamity, and He's going to become your protector. God's not going to lead you to sickness. He's going to be your healer. God's not going to lead you into mourning. He's going to be your comforter. Come on. God's not going to lead you to stress. He is going to lead you by peace. He's not going to make you be anxious or lead you toward a situation to make you anxious in hopes that it would draw you to Him. No, He's going to lead you to joy. Praise the Lord. You know, the truth of the matter is God's nature has never changed. And you may have a misconception of the Old Testament. You may have a misconception of the way He dealt with Israel. But listen, outside of the covenant, there was no blessing. The Bible says that death ruled and reigned from the time of Adam until the time of the law. That means that there was no curbing of it except by faith. And that was very hard to come by because there wasn't any word. Everybody was in the land of Lodabar. Land of Lodabar means a place without word. And so you had a couple men rise up. You had Abraham and you had Enoch and you had Noah rise up. But you only have 3 of them that were worth stating in all of those thousands of years. And then came in the law so that a whole people could enter into a blessing of God in measure based on their conduct and performance and sacrifices. Come on, and then through that nation, the whole world could enter into blessing by being proselyted or becoming Jewish by practice. Come on. And through that, Jesus came through that nation as they carried the Word of God and prophesied about Him. And what did Jesus do? He came to break the power of the devil, to destroy the works of the devil. What did He do? Everywhere He went, He healed the sick. He preached the good news. Listen, He fed the poor when there wasn't anything to feed them with. He never turned anyone down. The Bible says several places that He healed all that came to Him, all that were brought to Him, everyone that touched Him. So if Jesus is the express image of God come in the flesh, if He only did what He saw the Father do and say what He heard the Father say, then you know what He was? He was God come in the flesh. So that you want to know what God's will is? Look at the life of Jesus. What did He do? He healed the sick. He paid people's taxes. Come on. He was there to relieve people from the burdens of this world. Amen? I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper you, plans that you'll have hope in the future. It's not going to get darker for you. It's going to get brighter. It's not going to get harder. It may be a little more challenging if you step out in faith and in ministry or in business for the Lord, whatever it is that you're doing. It may get a little, but He's not leading you down a path to where there's nothing. To where you get your back up against a wall and you have nowhere to go. Because God always, remember Sunday, always provides a way of escape. Always. Now see, in the natural you'll get to some places where it seems like your back is up against a wall. In the natural you'll get to some places where, you know, here the enemy is coming up against you behind your back with millions of soldiers. And what's before you is the Red Sea. But we're not dealing with a natural God. We're dealing with a supernatural God. And if you don't have any impossibilities coming up in your life, then maybe what you should say. Now, God knows the plans He has for you. He's not guessing about this thing. And here's the cool thing about God. Is no matter how many times you've messed it up, how many times you've started, how many times you've gone out and tried to do things right, how many years you've wasted on yourself or your own vision or your own ideas, He has this way He can catch you right up. He has this way that He could take you from where you're at and put you to where you were supposed to be in a very short period of time. He has a way to turn everything around. He has a way to you know, the prodigal son is a good example of that. He went out and spent everything that he had, everything that was his from his father's. Had his father sell off whatever he had to sell off. And then he did it with riotous living. He spent everything on his own. He spent his youth on himself. And then he came back. He said, I'll be a servant. And he said, no, you're not going to be a servant. All that's mine is yours, right? You know, God kind of showed me something in regarding that. When I was just turned 29, I said, okay, God, I'll go preach. And he showed me that. I thought, man, I blew my best years, 29. And he showed me that if the things that the son was to have, the things like the property and the things that couldn't be sold, if they were left in the hands of the father, that when he came back, there would be more than when he left. And it wasn't just starting where he should have been, but there was actually more. Because everything that the father touches prospers. Everything that the father touches continues. It continues to grow. It continues to multiply. It just doesn't stop. And so it doesn't matter how many years you've wasted on your own vision, your own strength, your own youth, your own life, your own state, whatever it is. You know, whatever God's got for you, you can turn it just like that. He'll put that ring of authority on you. He'll put that robe of righteousness on you. He'll get you a brand new outfit. He'll slaughter the fattened calf, throw a party, and announce you're home. You don't come home empty-handed. You may come home empty-handed, but you come home, all of a sudden you're right back to where you were and then some. Amen? I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you. Go to Psalms, please, 103. Plans to prosper you. The good plans, amen? You know, if God calls you into the ministry, or God calls you to go to Africa, or God calls you, whatever it is, He's going to prosper you there. He's going to prosper you there. I just heard Pastor Bill Winston tell this story. I bet it's good. He said, you know, he was in business before he went into ministry. He was single. He's living in a high-rise apartment. And he said, I just really wanted to please the Lord. I just really wanted to please the Lord. And he said, I had a bunch of religious thinking in my head. He said, here I was in business, and I was successful. And he said, I drove out of my high-rise apartment in my Corvette. And he said, I basically gave it away that day, and I went down and got me a rusty Nova. Because he thought it would please the Lord for him to drive a rusty old Nova. He said, God will let you drive a Nova with blue smoke coming out the back, rusty, won't accelerate. He'll let you do that. But He has plans to prosper you. He has plans to prosper you. You know, you might think you have to give it all to do what God has called you to do. You know, I'll tell you what, God will take good care of you because He knows what you have need of. When you seek first the kingdom of God, He gives you all the things that you need for food and clothing and shelter. Come on. He says that you'll have no need and you'll have no want, that He'll even give you the desires of your heart. Praise the Lord. So sometimes you do get more by giving it all. And that's okay. And that's His way. And if you really go through the definition of what prosperity is more than what you have need of. Just simply that. It's more than what you have need of. And if you're going to be, you can be prospered by your own strength. You can be prospered, and you should have, you should always be putting some strength into your life. Whether you're getting paid for it or not, because God will bless you because of that. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, the Word of God says. So everybody should put their hand to something. And that is one stream of provision that comes from the house of God. That's just one, the work of your hands. There's all kinds of other streams of provision that come from the house of God to take care of your needs and to take care of your wants and to take care of your desires. To satisfy you. Because if you're going to be generous like God is generous, you have to have more than what you need. Because you can't be generous and always give sacrificially. If you give everything you have, then you have a poverty mentality. Now, come on, you're being generous. And I probably am, I have a fault with that, as I will give more than what I should give. We got a big work. If you give sacrificially all the time, you probably have a poverty mentality. God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have something in your pocket. He wants you to have something in the bank. He wants you to leave an inheritance for your children's children. Come on. Praise the Lord. Just like the old covenant may seem like, oh my goodness, you know, here we didn't have any laws and now we have to give 10%, and now we have to give a wave offering, we have to give a sin offering, and we have to do all of these things, and we have to eat this way, but it was to receive the blessing of God the only way it could be received. And God says freely, He gives freely, so you freely give. And if He wants you to be generous, and He does, you have to have more than what you need. How many of you know if the church and KLM, the ministry, if we only had enough to pay our payment and our utility bills, we couldn't feed anybody. We couldn't buy groceries for anybody. Come on. If we only had enough food for just the staff, we couldn't help the families that come in almost every single day that the office is open. Why? Because we'd have to take care of our households. So God wants you to be blessed. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
Say prosperous.
Prosperous.
I want you to please tonight, I want you to help shift. I want to shift you into a different place. Say prosperity. That's God's plan. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. Prosperity starts with giving your best. That has nothing to do with quantity. That has to do with presentation in your heart. And what you have, you get. You know, I bet that little lady that put the 2 cents in the offering when Jesus was, well, I'll bet she shined that up. You know? Nice and shiny before she even put it in. She gave it with her heart. It meant more than the thousands of dollars of gold coins that the other ones gave. It has to do with your heart, an attitude of your heart and presentation and honor and deference when it comes to, you know, if I'm going to give somebody, here, go buy yourself a hamburger, and I give somebody $5, you know, I'm not going to give it to them the same way that I'm going to give an offering to the Lord. I want to tell you something you may make fun of me about, but I used to iron my money before I'd give it to the Lord. I'd even put starch on it, man. If I couldn't get them wrinkles out, I'd starch it and iron it. Excellence unto the Lord. Excellence to the poor. There's a certain way we want to give food away, man. We don't want to. Oh, that's just. Would you give Governor Branstad a box that looked like that? Would you give the guy you're trying to impress at work a box that looked like that? Everything that you do with excellence. And if you're going to be generous, you have to have more than what you need. Now say prosperity.
Prosperity.
Prosperity doesn't necessarily have to do with amount. Everybody say amount. Let's talk about amount, because, you know, the Bible says with what measure that you give, it'll be measured back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men will give into your bosom or onto your lap. So listen, if people aren't giving you money, let me say that again. If people aren't giving you money, then you're not giving money to people. Because in the same manner that you give, it's going to come back to you.
Amen.
If people aren't blessing you, if people aren't bringing groceries to you every now and then, or buying you a meal, then you're probably not doing that for other people. That's just the way the kingdom. No, I know you're not, because that's the way the kingdom of God works. But let's talk about that word measure. If you give a cup, then you'll get cups back. If you give a bucket full, then you get the measure would be bucketfuls back. If you give a thimbleful, and this has to do with more your heart too, then a thimbleful you get back. But see, it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And see, when the harvest comes in and you're still giving a thimble, when you should be doing a cup, guess what's going to happen? You're going to hurt your harvest in the future. Everything that we have naturally works spiritually. Everything that we have naturally comes about because of a spiritual seed. Come on. Seed time and harvest is a natural law. Giving and receiving is a spiritual law. They're different, but they're both true, and they both create, listen, streams of increase. Everybody say streams. Say prosperity. If the only place that you believe, that you are believing that God is going to increase in you is from your government check because you're retired or on disability or here, if the only thing way you think you're going to increase is by the amount of customers that come through your door or by whether or not somebody pays rent or through your job, then you are short-circuiting your faith to receive the streams of income that God wants you to have. Mm-hmm. There should be multiple streams of income, guys. Mm-hmm. There's seed time and harvest. There's the law of giving and receiving. There's the law of honor. There's the law of first fruits. There's the law of working with your hands. Come on. That's just to name a few. There's a law of giving to the poor. And all of those should create some kind of, just not money, but increase back into your life. In the manner that you sow is the manner that you that it receives. It comes back. God has a plan for you. Now, just like the children of Israel could access the blessing of God by doing what? By obeying the law. By bringing the tithe. By making the proper sacrifices, the wave offering, the grain offering, the offering unto the Lord where they poured it out on the ground, all of those things where they, see, they literally gave, like some of the offerings, they didn't even get to consume. I bet you didn't know that, a bunch of you. When you brought the offering to the temple, it was basically barbecued and you got to eat it with your family. There were some that got totally consumed with fire. Just like the drink offering, you'd pour it out on the ground and nobody got it. But see, that was an offering. And so there's something coming back in the measure, in the same type, in the same form. So as you could do the proper things and obey the law and do the sacrifices, you could enter into the, like healing could be accessed through certain sacrifices. Healing could be accessed by certain rites that the priest would do in the home, rituals. Well, how do we access the goodness of God? Well, one of the surest ways to access the goodness of God is by giving. And that's not just necessarily money. And it's not necessarily just to the church. Having a heart of generosity and a heart of excellence to where you're looking at your closet and saying, what could I give away? No, not because I don't wear that anymore. Not because it doesn't fit anymore, but because that's good seed. Now, who could I give it to? Come on. See, God wants you to have good things so that you could be a blessing to somebody else. So say prosperity with me. Prosperity. We're not talking about money. We're talking about a flow. We're talking about a flow. Back when I was in my early 20s, I invested some money into stocks, bonds, puts, community, commodities, things like that. And I remember I said to the guy I gave the money to, I said, okay, now, you know, he talked to me every day, told me what we were doing. And I said, how do you make your money? Because, I'm, you know, I'm young. He goes, oh, well, we don't ever touch the pulp. We don't ever touch the seeds. He said, we just get a little bit of the juice. I said, what do you mean you get a little bit of the juice? He says, well, when we make a deal, we just get a little bit, a transaction fee off each deal, whether it's good or it's bad, and that's called the juice. You know, when you squeeze an orange or you're making tomato stuff, he said, you know, the meat's there from the fruit, We just get a little bit of the juice because we're working the meat. I said, well, that makes sense. And see, we should be living off the juice of the flow. That's what the Christian should be living off of. We should be living off the juice of the flow. And that, see, that's yours. That's yours to spend. That's yours to do whatever you want with. It's yours to save. That's yours to invest. It's yours to give to your children. But God wants you to have a flow that is so great that you're able to bless other people. I don't want to just bless the neighborhood, man. I want to bless the city. I want to bless the state. I want to bless the nations. I want to praise the Lord. I mean, when a tsunami hit, I can't remember how many metric tons of rice that we bought from the ministry bought. Oh, we need food. We need food. Well, the government had food. We just had to buy it from the government in India and get it down to them. I mean, to be able to buy tons of food for somebody is good. I want to do more than that. And listen, you can't pay somebody else's rent if your mortgage is past due. You can't with a good conscience feed somebody when your kids don't have enough to have proper nourishment. Come on. You can't fill somebody's gas tank if your car's on E and your pocketbook is empty. You can't buy somebody lunch if you don't have any money in your pocket. You can't pay somebody's bills if yours aren't paid. You can only bless. Listen, you're only responsible for what you have. And somebody ought to write that down. You're only responsible for what you have. God's not going to hold you responsible for something you don't have. But what you have is enough. It's enough to take care of what you should take care of, put a little seed, take care of the need. It's always there. God always gives you enough. And His plan is not for you to stay in that nickel and dime thing. His plan is not for you to stay in what they call hand and mouth. Does everybody know what hand and mouth is? That's as soon as it gets in a hand, it goes in the mouth. As soon as it gets in a hand, it goes in the mouth. A real good example is that is somebody who's got some really strong addictions, and as soon as they get a dollar, they got to go out and get a buzz. They got it so bad that as soon as they get a dollar, then they got to go buy a thing of rubbing alcohol or Mad Dog or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? It's hand and mouth. You just consume everything that comes in. Consume everything. That's not God's plan for none of us. God's plan is for you to be an avenue that He can flow through. Prosperity is about flow, and you can measure prosperity as flow. If you're not able to give any more this year than you did last year to the poor, to help those around you, to do things that are in your heart to do for other people, well, come on now, let's get in some faith and let's get some other streams of increase in your life. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's just expectation. Maybe it's planting more seed into the lives of those around you. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 103. Is that where we're at? Verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Say all. Who forgives all of your sins, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Now listen, if you're not getting satisfied, how do you get satisfied? Anybody ever had a Thanksgiving dinner and you were satisfied? Christmas dinner and you're satisfied? Satisfied to where you push it away? That's satisfaction. I've had all that I want. That's what satisfaction is. And if you're not satisfied, you can't be generous. Not in the way that God wants you to be, because He wants you to be generous like He's generous, able to give in all occasions, and not to be able to say, well, no, I got to do it sacrificially this time. I got to really dig in deep and believe God to be able to do it. See, He wants you to be satisfied that you have more than enough on your plate, more than enough in your stomach. And see, that's where most people miss it, is they don't look to what do I do with the leftovers. What do I do with the extra? Well, God's giving you extra to sow. Come on. If you got two turkeys and it's Thanksgiving, I would just suggest that maybe you'd go and find a family to give that other turkey to. Instead of saying, "Whoo, look at, we're so blessed, we can eat for a month." You can be tired of turkey in 3 days.
Yeah.
Come on. That's where we miss it, guys. Most of the body of Christ doesn't have problems seeking God when they're in need. Most of the body of Christ, they don't struggle when they're in need. It's when they get a steady paycheck. That's when they have problems. It's when they get extra money in their pocket. That's when they have problems. Come on. It's when they have more than what they need and more than what they want. That's when they have problems. That's when they struggle. That's why prosperity and the flow doesn't come into many people's lives. Because God can't, you can't stay with God when you're just hand in mouth. You just get a little extra and then you want to, "Oh, I don't need God." Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 18. Thank you. Yeah, let's go back to verse 15. Boy, this is a good picture, guys. Everybody say flow.
Flow.
Come on, say it like you flow.
Flow.
Let's go to verse 11. "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, His decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied," everybody say multiplied, "then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, brought you out of sin. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, and its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you." Now listen, most of the body of Christ is stuck right here. Daily bread. That's not where God wants you to stay. He wants to take you across the Jordan into the promised land. But here's why he can't. Because if all that goes well with you, verse 17, you may say to yourself, "My power and my strength and my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your ancestors today. Now listen, He confirms His covenant with flow. First is peace, joy, come on, strength, contentment. Everybody say contentment.
Contentment.
If you can't be content in the wilderness, if you can't be generous in the wilderness, come on. If you can't share your manna, which you didn't earn in the wilderness, you're not going to share the big grapes as big as basketballs when you get into the promised land. For 40 years, they had the same amount of food every day. They could gather all they wanted every single morning, right? There was no limit to what they could gather. They just couldn't keep it overnight. How could you not be generous? How could you not be generous with food when you didn't create it and it just fell on the ground? Come on. Why couldn't you bring it, grind it up like they talk about, make pancakes and do it for the whole, you know, once in a while do it for the whole camp or for those around you or at least extended family? Well, God provided that. They can get it themselves. They can go out and do it. They don't need me to do that for them. That's your problem. God gives you seed to sow and bread to eat. They had seed every single morning. Say that, seed.
Every single morning.
They could get, water was coming out of the rock every day. They could have got 2 buckets of water, 3 buckets of water. They could have served somebody else and took water to them, couldn't they? There wasn't a limit here. God gives you seed to sow and bread to eat. So what's the real deal? Well, they could get it themselves. See, if you're in the wilderness for 40 years and you got gold and you got silver and you got brand new shoes and you got brand new clothes and they don't wear out because God enveloped them with the blessing and you got all the food that you can eat and you got all the water that you can drink, that's what most people think prosperity is, and it's not. That's called provision. You could be in the middle of the desert and you could be prosperous by collecting more manna and taking it to the little old lady so they don't have to. Am I helping anybody? You could do a little extra labor and go out there and get five trips to the rock and take water to, you know, the elderly. Maybe take it to where the kids are playing and serve somebody else with it. Well, they could get it themselves. That's the point. Because even when you have running water and a bakery next door, don't you ever forget it's God who gives you the ability to get it. Yeah. Guys, that's good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's $100 a week, $1,000 a week, or $1 million a week. It's still God. And so prosperity is about a flow. And flow is not... in the bottom of the parsonage over here, there are 2 great big circles, probably 4 or 5 feet in diameter, where I assume back in 1885 they put cisterns in. You know what a cistern is? It's something that you would pour water into, thousands of gallons of water. And it'd last you 3 to 4 months. And then you have to refill it again. Now, if you've got a flow, all you got to do is turn on the tap. See, this is before you could turn on the tap. Most Christians are living their life, most Christians, not you guys, are living their lives like we've got to put it in a cistern because that's all we get. We've got to be careful with how much we use and who we give it to. And all you got to do is turn on the knob and there's a flow. If the river comes in and you dam it up, you guys know, if you dam up a river, what do you have? You get a lake. But there's an inlet. There's a fresh flow and that water will be good. Now, if there's no fresh flow, it's a pond. And a pond is subject to a lot of things that a lake isn't subject to. A whole pond of fish can die in just one summer because of temperature or because of algae, but not if you have a fresh stream coming in. If you dam up the river, you're going to have a stagnant flow. Well, you're not going to have a flow. You're just going to have a cistern. It's going to become stagnant. Everybody has smelt musty water? If water can't, it gets stagnant and then there's death in it. So even though the water comes from God in a rain, if it sits in a pool and it doesn't have a flow, it gets stagnant. It gets rancid and nothing can live in it. And that's the way it is with provision. That's the way it is with prosperity. That's the way it is with all the things in God. If we give, we get more. Amen? I'm not talking about your money, guys. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about a flow. Money is just the thing that, you know, everything can be translated into money. Unfortunately, friends can be bought with money. Companionship can be bought with money. Houses can be bought with money. Food can be bought with money. Service can be bought with money. Labor can be bought with money. Chairs can be bought with money. That's why money can be the answer to all things because it can become all things. But if you're faithful with the things, then the money comes. Because it's not money that God's not really interested in money. I don't even believe it's God's system. I really don't. So I said, you bring me the apples, you bring me the goats. Praise the Lord, I'll take them. We'll do something with them. Let me tell you something that's been I've been dealing with here just the last couple weeks. You want to hear? It's about flow. The world is full of people that want. They want. We desire. And if we're very simplistic, guys, the only way that we desire one thing, and that's green, which is foolishness. It really is. Because everything has value. And everything that comes into your possession can have more value. And if we start putting value on the things that God brings us, we might find out that we're a whole lot more prosperous in the flow than we think. Somebody gives you a computer. You let it sit in the corner. You know, it's a pretty good computer, slightly used. Let it sit in the corner for 2 years. Where did its value go? Utilitarian. In other words, you didn't use it, had no value. But now, technology's changed. It absolutely has no value. And anymore, if you're not really sharp, you've got to pay somebody to take it away. So literally, what was a blessing became a curse. Because you sat on it. Come on. Because you just let it sit. Well, you got to get the thing flowing. Here's what I see. I see that, let's just change the terms a little bit. I see in the body of Christ and in the world, people want to increase. Don't you? God wants you to increase. That's the first thing you got to get over. God wants you to increase. I know the plans I have for you. They're for you to prosper. They're good plans for you to have hope and have a future. That's what God wants for you. And He's got 1,000 different ways to get it to you. If He doesn't do it very often, but if He's got to have a pigeon fly by and drop a bag of money on you, He'd do it. Praise the Lord. Here's the thing. People want increase, but sometimes the increase is too deep. And they're not willing to do it. The payback isn't as quick. I buy something, I sell something. Ooh, that's good. That's quick, right? I go to work, I get a paycheck every Friday. That seems good, but it's very simplistic. That's why we have less entrepreneurs out there than we do people who work for an hourly wage or a salary. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because, see, you know that if you go to work, there's a guarantee. At least in a man's word. You think. Come on. You get out there on your own and you start your own thing. Now, who do you got to lean back on? You can't lean back on the company anymore. You just got to lean on God. Oh, man, maybe that's the point. Because God does want, He does. God wants you to increase. But if it's too deep, if the return is too deep, if the increase is too deep, then that's, I can't see it. That's where most of the world is. That's where most of the body of Christ is. Man, I mean, Pastor Neej and I have been investing the last 15 years into the ministry and the last 4 into this church. Deep. Deep. Because we know that as we build the campus and build the body of Christ and build the congregations, that eventually there will be a flow. There'll be a payback. Amen? That's deep, though. I mean, you're talking 15 years now going into 20. But the deeper the increase, the bigger the flow. The Bible says that if you want to get rich quick, you're going to fall into temptation. You don't want to get rich quick. You want God to increase you. Little by little. Bit by bit. Just slowly keep increasing you. We have a partner that started partnering with our ministry back in 1998. Started with $5 a month. And every now and then he'll say he'll increase, just faithful as can be, $5 a month. Then he went to $10 a month. Then he went, now he's about $120 a month now. Faithful. And I'm telling you, God is increasing him. But I see it, I've seen it over 15 years. He started with what he had. Now, he's not tithing to us. That's just an offering that he supports our ministry with. And he's increased. Just like his tithes and his offerings and his support for the ministry increases. God wants you to increase. But he's not going to let you get out of the wilderness into the promised land, because the Word of God says that he wouldn't let you take it all, because it would take you. It'd be too much. I don't want to spend 40 years in the desert, do you? So what do we have to do in the desert? We have to learn how to be content and be generous. Why? Because then you get out sooner. It's all about flow. It's not about how much you can put in your pockets. It's about how much it can get through. God will get it to you if he can get it through you. Well, what about me? That's where you live on the juice. God knows what you have need of even before you pray. He'll make sure that you have no wants. Now, I'm not trying to loosen your pocketbooks, because we don't want you to give. We're not going to take up an offering, because that's not what this is about. We believe that you should not give under compulsion. We believe that you should have it set in your heart with God before you came to church what you're to give. Okay? So you can rest easy. We're not going to take up an offering. We're not going to lock the doors. We're not doing that. You guys, listen. Things are paid for before you even come to church. Things were paid for before you got here. Does that mean they're always right on time? Well, they're just in God's time. We bought this when we had like 7 people. And nothing in the checkbook. And I'm telling you, we're fixing to get some more too. As we're being diligent with what we have, and you watch what happens in the next 6 months, as we be diligent and this thing gets done, you watch. God knows what he's doing. Now, if God would do in 3 years, you know, give us now, we've got 3-4 properties here now. If he would do that for us, well, actually we got 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow, we have 8 properties. The ministry does. Do you know we had 8 properties? And I mean, we're just getting started. Now, do I own any of that? No, the ministry does. And I don't care if I own it or the ministry does, because it's about the flow. Everybody say flow. Do you realize that? I want to tell you what pastor's doing here so that you don't misunderstand. God has always dealt with me to build the basket before we go to the orchard. Before I had one invitation to preach overseas, before I had one invitation to preach in a church. And I could be busy doing that right now, but I choose to be here with you. Praise the Lord. But before I did, I formed the corporation, got all the office equipment, put everything out, bulk mail permit, and we started the ministry. That's just the way God has dealt with me. And I think it was within the first 9 years, we had over 1 million people get born again. Built several churches overseas. Praise the Lord. So what we've been doing the last 2.5-3 years is building the basket. We've been building the infrastructure for God to flow through. Not to contain, that includes people and money and missionaries and pastors. Come on. That's what this campus is about, is raising up laborers and sending them out, training them. It's about a flow. Can you imagine the day that some of us jump in our helicopter and we go down to the airport, and we get into our 747 or 767 that's loaded down with goods for another nation who's in need, and we go and we distribute and we preach the gospel and pray for the sick and get people saved and come home and sleep in our own bed that night? That's where we're going. And that's what drives me when I'm pounding nails. That's what drives me when I'm picking up garbage. It's what drives me when I'm saying, hey, we need to fix this light. We need to get this done. I mean, with what we have, you know, we should be excellent with everything that we have. Is this the nicest sanctuary in the world right now? No. But it's as good as we can get it, and it's going to get better. And God will increase the flow. This is all about the flow. We're setting up things in the ministry, in the bookwork, in the offices across the street, for children's ministry and for youth. That's what that building's about over there. For the flow. The flow's coming. So that you guys don't get... God knows what you have need of even before you pray. He knows the plans that He has for you. And I need to make sure that you understand this is about being a place that we prepare laborers to do the work of the ministry. And so it's not real glamorous. You know, the work is never glamorous. That's about 95% of ministry. It's not glamorous. You know, we'll have some high times and we'll have the house full, but, you know, there's the rest of the time when we got our nose to the grindstone doing the work of the ministry. And we're doing that because the flow's coming. And I don't want it flowing through anybody else. I mean, if it's going to flow through Des Moines, it better flow through here too, amen? Amen. And how much of it's going to come through here is going to depend on how much we're ready for. Whether our praise and worship is excellent. Come on. Mm-hmm. Whether our singers are excellent. Whether our parking lot greeters are excellent. Whether our ushering is excellent. Whether we're following up with people in the way that we should be with excellence and love and compassion. Whether we're answering the phone across the street with excellence and listening for that reason to pray with somebody. Come on. All of those things has to do with how much flow is going to come through. Now, God's greatest commodity is people. His desire, His inheritance, it's the nations. And nations is ethnos, people. So when we're talking about the flow, listen, where the people are, the juice will always be there. Where the people are, there'll always be enough juice to pay the light bills. Come on, when people are getting ministered to, there'll always be enough to buy another building. Come on. The real treasure is in the people. Amen. Guys, you're a treasure to God, but you're here in this place because we're to put our hands to putting this almost like a machine that'll spit out laborers. Shine them up. Equip them. Send them out. And they come back banged up and bruised and tired from the mission field and exhausted. They come and they get rest and get refueled. They can go out and do it again. Pastor's down in southern Iowa or northeast Iowa, and he feels like, you know, he's getting beat up by the little small town of Peyton Place. And he can come here and get refreshed. The anointing will recharge him and send him back out and do it again. Yeah. Connecting with him in the middle of the week, connecting with him twice a month. Praise the Lord. His teams of ministers go out from here to minister to them. Not about money, about people. Money will always be there. God doesn't have a money problem. He has a people problem. That's why He told us to pray for laborers. Pray for laborers to thrust them out into the harvest field. We got to start declaring laborers, man. We started declaring laborers on, Saturday on the way back and then Sunday. Praise the Lord. We had a whole crew of people here Monday. They'll be in the pews soon. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm a laborer. All right, let's go to one more scripture, can we please? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Can we do one more scripture? Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. Now guys, Jesus was rich when He was in heaven. Cattle on a thousand hills, they're His. The gold and silver, they're His. If I were thirsty, if I were hungry, He said, I'm not going to ask you. He was rich. There was a form of poverty when he came down to the earth. I mean, you go from that to being born in a manger, that's kind of a shift, isn't it? But what did God do? He had three wise men came, and what did they bring him? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He's rich. That's God's plan for you, man. He had, you know, you don't have a treasure if you don't have any money. You don't need one. Especially one who takes from the treasury. So we know he had an entourage of about 100 people he had to take care of. You know, they didn't go to the treasurer to find out if they had enough money to buy fish, to buy loaves, to buy... There was money there. Now on the cross, he was stripped naked. But now his underwear were valuable because they gambled for him. I mean, there was one piece. I don't know about you, but my tight... I don't wear tidy whities, but my underwear... They're not one piece. They're not woven just to fit me. You understand what kind of a... That would take a... I imagine you pay a little bit more for underwear like that. Mm-hmm. So much so that they gambled for it instead of tearing it. I've never had a pair of underwear anybody want to gamble for. Have you? He must have had something in his pocket. But on the cross, he was stripped of everything. Everything. Naked and ashamed, he stood before us, and he hung between heaven and earth. Through his poverty, you might become rich. Rich doesn't necessarily have to do with money. It's about a flow. And when you understand that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to you, that the gold and silver that's on the earth belongs to you, it's not a matter of money problem, it's a flow problem. So we need to work on the flow. Two things, and I'll close. The first thing is being content when it doesn't seem like you have it within your grasp. That's faith. To not fidget. To not redo the checkbook 12 times. Come on. To not get nervous. To not get edgy when you're getting toward the end of the month and you don't have enough for the month's rent ahead. Come on. To learn to be content and to trust God when you're abasting or abounding, when you're in lack or you have enough. Just to be consistent. Whether you have thousands of dollars flowing through you a month or you have $100 flowing through you a month, be consistent. Be content. Be generous. Whether you have $100 flowing through you a month or $1,000 flowing through you a month or $10,000 flowing through you a month or $30,000 flowing through you a month. Because if you're not generous right now when you have 10, 100, or 200, you're not going to be generous when you have thousands. But if you can be generous when you're abasting, when you don't seem to have enough, now come on, that's an attitude of the heart. That's what somebody God will flow through. That's somebody God will take through the Jordan. If you could be anxiouslessness. I don't even know this word, but it sounds good. But if you could be that way, when you don't have and when you have too much. Because when God has wealth, he adds it to you without headache, without sorrow, without stress, without... Come on. So you have to learn to be content. Everybody say content. Be temperate. Be consistent in the area of provision. And then you can be generous. Amen. God knows the plans he has for you now. He's not going to take you to the end and tell you to jump off a ship like Captain Hook would do. If you jump and he tells you to jump, then there's going to be something waiting for you and it's going to be good. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for provision. And Jesus, we declare that you are our provider, you are our protector, you are our God, our Savior, our sanctifier, our soon coming King, our healer, and we thank you for it. You're the one who gives us the ability to flow. You're the one who gives us the ability to rest. You're the one who gives us the ability to labor. to be at peace. Father, like Solomon said, to be able to do your work, eat your food and enjoy it and rest is enough. And that was from one of the wealthiest men that ever walked on the earth. Teach us to be content, and out of that contentment to be generous in all occasions. Not looking for a handout, but looking to be the hand. Looking for people to bless, people to help, people to lift, people to encourage, people to pray with, and to pray for. If you want that to be in your heart, say, yes, sir, I do. In Jesus' name we receive it.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.